This next segment is on the religious part, and there will be a point where I'll ask if there are any younger children. They'll have, maybe you can have someone take them over next door.
Teresa's going to go now.
Okay.
No, they can. I don't guess there's any really small children here right now, is there?
Well, they sent ours out.
Here we are. All right, this begins the theology part that I'm mostly interested in. We're told in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that Moses led the Israelites. In the morning, they would go out into the morning dew and pick the manna from heaven. We're told that Moses led the Israelites in the morning to pick the manna from heaven. Manna simply meant, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was. So they called it, what is it? And today we call it manna. Manna is, what is it in Hebrew? Yeah, I mean, that's serious. That's where it came from. That's where it come from. They didn't know what it was, so they just said it was manna, which means in Hebrew, what is it? But all they knew is that they would go around and pick it in the morning dew. And the Bible says in the morning dew, when the dew would dry out in the grass and in the on the earth would be the food of the gods. The food of the gods. Well, anyone who knows that term, the food of the gods, knows what manna really was. So when we hear that Moses and the Israelites were picking manna from heaven every morning in the morning dew, they were picking mushrooms. That's why it was called, what is it? You know, you take a couple of them and you say, my God, what is this? What is it? Well, what it was mushrooms. Manna from heaven is mushrooms. That's why they were called high priest. Now here's a high priest of Israel wearing a woman's dress. Yeah. And look at the headdress. You'll see the headdress. Chump's wearing a mushroom. You get that focused?
Flying saucer.
Oh, really? He's wearing a mushroom headdress. That's why they call high priest. You know, you go out and pick the mushrooms in the morning and you get high and you can talk to God. It's not a bad living, actually, walking around a woman's dress and having people feed you. Yeah, getting blowed out on drugs and mushrooms, wandering around a woman's dress and having people feed you all day. My God, you can't beat that. Better than working, isn't it? It's incredible. Here is a committee of mushrooms. Here's another one. This chump looked like he's been on it for a while. Yeah, mushroom heads. There they are. Mushroom heads. It's incredible. And on the mushrooms, you'll always see the open vagina. Yeah, because sex always went better with drugs. Yeah, that's part of it. It's part of the Eastern, Middle Eastern history. Sex and drugs, mushrooms, talk to God. Now, here is one of the cults. As I said, in the ancient world, there were at least seven Semitic cults, which today has come together in one cult called Judaism. But in the ancient world, there was at least seven of them. and one of the seven cults was the cult of Volcano, the cult of the volcano. Volcanoes. Like any other impressive and fearful aspect of nature, volcanoes have been the object of worship for human beings from the earliest stone age. Yet the original Yahweh, the Hebrew god Yahweh, seems to have begun as a volcano god also. Mount Sinai, where Moses encountered him, was the seat of the Midianite god who had formerly dwelt in the volcano. He was also Yahweh. He was also identified with the local moon god, remember, the lunar cult. He was also identified with the local moon god, Sin. Sin was the name of the local moon god. Consequently, Yahweh is a volcano god connected to the Midianite god, which was the old local moon god named Sin, after whom the mountain was named. That's why it was called Sinai. Where is it? The local moon god. I'm looking for something here. Okay, here it is. Sinai. The Sinai comes from the local moon god Sin. The mountain of the moon god was Sinai, or Sinai. So that holy of holies, Mount Sinai, is actually the mountain of the moon god. The mushroom heads go up and talk to God. It's easy to do. You take enough mushrooms, you'll talk to God. Believe me. Okay, the appearance of Yahweh from the Bible in Exodus 13:21-22. Exodus 13:21-22 says that Yahweh appeared to the Israelites as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Well, that's what volcanoes look like, a pillar of fire, a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. So it says Yahweh always appeared as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That's in the Bible. Now, here's the punchline. The word volcano comes from the Latin volcano god Vulcan, or Vulcanus. It's derived from the old Cretan deity Vulcanus. The word volcano comes from the Latin volcano god Vulcan, or Vulcanus, derived from the old Cretan deity Vulcanus. So here is Yahweh leading his troops, the Israelites, the pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now here in the Bible in Job 37, the footnote for Job 37 talks about, this is the footnote in the Bible, thunder. Thunder is called in Hebrew kolath. Thunder is called kolath, meaning voices, for it is considered the voice of God. So therefore, here it is again. Thunder is called in Hebrew kolath, voices, for it is considered the voice of God. Okay? Thunder is the voice of God. Here's some other footnotes from Job 37. The storm, or the clouds, are God's tent. The clouds are God's tent. And they gather as the thunder, or, quote, the voice of Yahweh roars. And they descend, and God shoots the arrows of his lightning. And the great mist of God is his smoke, his thunderbolts, and God thunders wonderfully with his voice. So when the people are told that God spoke to Moses and he spoke to the great prophets, we're talking about thunder. Consequently, anytime it's a storm out, you can go out and talk to God. He'll talk to you. It's thunder. It says lightning and thunder God, the old lightning and thunder God of the old ancient Semitic cult of the volcano. That's what you have with volcanoes, is lightning and thunder. I mean, we're told that Moses went up into the mountain and there was a burning bush. No, the whole damn mountain is burning. You know. So, you know, your face would be glowing too if you went up to the mountain. Yeah. Here at Mount Sinai, Jehovah performed signs. The mountain trembled and smoked all over. Millions saw and heard proof that what Moses made known in God's name was the word of God. That look like a volcano to you? That's Jehovah up in the mountain with his lightning and thunder. Jehovah led the sons of Israel to the mountain named Sinai, short for the moon god Sin. And there he gave them his law. Now we're talking about the great Mosaic law, the law of God. And Moses went up into the mountain, and the law of God was given to him by the boogeyman up here in the...
Boogeyman.
That look like a volcano to you? See, the Israelites were not as stupid as they looked. They told Moses, you go up and talk to God. We'll stay here. Yeah. We let the chump go up and let him go talk to God. Let his face glow. It's incredible. Does that look like a volcano to you? Now, here is from the Encyclopedia Judaica in the holidays. Is Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hanukkah, which is the Hebrew winter celebration for Christmas, Hanukkah. And then you have the Passover. We'll talk about that later. Here's the Passover. But over here is the Feast of the Giving of the Law. Feast of the Giving of the Law. What does that look like to you? That look like a volcano?
Yeah.
There's thundering and his lightning. And there's the law of God. It's incredible. For all purposes, that looks like a volcano. Part two. Now we go to another interesting occult symbol in Judaism. This is on the face of a book called Discovering the Bible. And here we'll see the benediction or the blessing of the rabbi. The blessing of the rabbi. Here it is again. Here is the Pentateuch scroll or crown with hands raised in the priestly blessing. You see the priestly blessing of the Pentateuch scroll or crown? Here is another mushroom head who is blessing everyone. Looks like he's been on it for a while. And he's giving the blessing. Here is another high priest. Indeed, the Lord is high. And so is his priest. Indeed, the Lord is high, yet he looks upon the lowly. And here is a blessing from the great and holy, rich, religious, righteous, pompous, arrogant, know-it-all, holier-than-thou, God's chosen people. Here's the rabbi, the woman's dress, the black robe, giving the great blessing to the... The service is closed with that benediction. That's why he's a Vulcan. That's where we get Vulcan. From the God of the Hebrews. Vulcanus. The Jewish Hebrew Israelite God is nothing more than the same old Mickey Mouse volcano God that thunders and lightens, scared the peewads out of everybody. And he's the one that gave you that great law. So then in America, when you get in trouble, you broke the law. And the sheriff comes out with the hexagram of the six-pointed star of David on his chest. There's your God. Hollywood. Okay. Now we get into God's holy ark. Remember the Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark? The idea of the Ark of the Covenant was copied from the Egyptians. That's why Indiana Jones and the Nazis were looking for the lost Ark in Egypt, not the Holy Land. I mean, Spielberg knew at least enough about to know where the Holy Ark really was. It came from Egypt. The idea of an Ark of the Covenant was copied from the Egyptians. The ancient Akkadians or Babylonians are the Chaldean Ark shrines, which usually held fetishes, usually of a sexual nature. Reason why is because the box symbolizes the female womb, the female box. And they're always out raiding the Lost Ark. It's that continual searching for sexual fulfillment. The Raiders of the Lost Ark. The female box. Here it is in the original. Ark was a word adopted from the Egyptians. That's why Indiana Jones is looking for the Lost Ark in Egypt. Ain't got nothing to do with that wonderful and holy, righteous city of Jerusalem and the Holy of Holies. It has to do with Egyptian sexual symbolism. Female box. That's why the angels who were sitting on the top of the mercy seat were always in the symbol and the sexual symbol of the female opening. I'm going to go through that. Okay, here it is. The Sanskrit term yoni was often delicately translated womb of the world. This is something called the womb of the world. Fairly obvious. It meant the womb of the world. It was always, sex was always a part of the ancient religion. As a matter of fact, ancient religion was pretty much so, always sex. Period. If you're going to worship something, that's worth worshiping. And the wings of the bird were always put together like the opening of the female, like on the ark. The wings opened up the ark of the covenant, or the female opening, her box, again. Here's the way it was basically pictured in the ancient Egyptians, the female opening, her box. So when you see all of these movies and hear all of this silliness on television about that great and holy Ark of the Covenant, and oh, they have found the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem. And that means these are the last days and the Lord's coming back. And all of these wonderful things. That's just Hollywood. Jack, you better wake up and get a light. Wake up. Yeah, I got a pentagram on it. And she's sitting on something called a mercy seat. Mercy. And here, again, this guy with the pointed head, it's incredible. Here's the bat mitzvah. Boys had the bar mitzvah when they become a man, and girls had the bat mitzvah, the yoni. Africans celebrating the coming out of the womb to birth. The Hindus celebrating the God who comes out of the womb to new birth. Jesus coming out of the womb to new birth. And Mary, she is the womb. Now here we have the womb. Incidentally, that's why we have the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C. The big obelisk in Washington, D.C. is the male. And the male erection is the Washington Monument obelisk. And it connects to the Oval Office. Now, all the ancient gods and kings were always called penis head kings. No, they always wore the symbol of sexual symbol on their head. They were always the gods, and the great kings were the great penis head kings. And I'm not saying this to be facetious or funny. It's true. Yeah. Exactly right. The big hebo, the big penis head. Yeah. I got to tell you, there still are. They're all a bunch of Peter heads, a whole bunch of them. Yeah. All the Peter heads. Kings and rulers and potentates and macho man and all that crap. All a bunch of penis heads. Bouncing a basketball and having a ball. Jewish high priest wearing the big penis head. Yeah.
his hat.
Outrageous. Anyway, pillars. Pillars were the phallic emblems of many gods and heroes. That's a pillar, and it's used in our architecture even today. Pillars were used and still used in our architecture today. Pillars always represented the male phallic. Here's the obelisk, Washington Monument. Obelisk, the word obelisk comes from the Greek word meaning a pointed pillar. The old joke that calls the United States' largest modern obelisk Washington's greatest erection. That's it. There it is, the Washington Monument. And as I said, it connects to the Oval Office. Now, here's something called the lingam, which was an ancient symbol in the Hindu. The phallus or lingam was usually painted red and anointed with holy oil, to which the Greeks gave the name Chrysum. Thus, the divinely begotten one was given the name Christos, meaning anointed. Wait a minute. Okay. The phallus or lingam was usually painted red and anointed with holy oil, to which the Greeks gave the name Chrysum. The holy oil was Chrysum. Incidentally, that's why, what's the name of the company? Pillsbury has a oil, cooking oil, called Crisco. Crisco comes from Cristo or Chrysum, Crisco oil, because Crisco is oil. And they always oil the phallic before sex. Consequently, the phallic or lingam was usually painted red and anointed with holy oil, to which the Greeks gave the name Chrysum. Thus, the divinely begotten one, that's him, was given the name Christos, meaning the anointed. Of course, oil was necessary for the insertion of the stone phallus into the virgin. Later, the oil itself became a symbol. Kings' heads were anointed with holy oil, being likened to the head of the god Penis. Consequently, there were almost always in the ancient world double phallic symbols in front of the temples. Double phallic symbols in front of the ancient temples. Not every time, but many times, double phallic symbols on each side of the pointed arch were the double phallic symbols. The Egyptian convention, or the Egyptian idea of twin phallic pillars at the temple gate, were copied by the temple at Jerusalem. Well, why not? They copied everything else from Egypt. The Egyptian convention of twin phallic pillars at the temple gate were copied by the temple at Jerusalem, where the right pillar, according to 1 Kings 7:21, the right pillar was named Jachin, God makes him firm, and the left pillar was named Boaz, eagerness and strength. I mean, that's what's in the Bible. It actually says that. One of the big phallic pillars is named Jachin, which means, translated, God makes him firm. And the left one is called Boaz, meaning eagerness and strength. Now, what are we talking about here? God makes him firm in eagerness and strength. And this is holy. This is right from the Bible. This is the holy of holies. The only thing holy about Jerusalem is the stories. They're full of holes. And there it is. Joaz and Jacob. Incredible. Temple built by Saul Om On. It's Saul, S-O-L for Latin, for the sun. Om for the sun in Hindu, and the city of On for the worship of the sun. Saul Om On. Here are all the guys running around here in their dresses, offering up animals, burning them at the altar in front of the two big Peters, going into that wonderful, that wonderful and holy temple of Solomon. Yeah, there it is. Now, can you people see back behind me? Because I don't want you to miss nothing. So when you hear about all this wonderful holiness going on in Jerusalem, you better check into it. Better do your homework. Thank you. Because there ain't nothing holy in Jerusalem. There ain't never been nothing holy in Jerusalem.
Jordan, what about the 12 oxen there on the font or whatever you were saying?
Yep.
What's the symbology of that?
The 12 oxen, there are three here, three on each side. That corresponds with the four sets of oxens, corresponds with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because the four sets of threes are the seasons. These are the 12 months of the year. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. The four seasons is why we have four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the four seasons. Why? Because Jesus had 12 apostles. The 12 apostles are the 12 signs of the zodiac, or the 12 helpers of God's Son. So the 12 helpers are the 12 apostles of the 12 signs of the zodiac. And that's why Leonardo da Vinci, in his painting of the Last Supper, has Jesus in the middle with six apostles on each side divided into two sets of threes, spring, summer, autumn, winter. Well, you know, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, hell yes, the sun's a reason for the season. You wouldn't have a season without the sun. Well, yeah, but that's why we at Christmas, because Jesus is the reason for the season. No, no. In the ancient Egyptian religion, that thing that comes up in the morning that brought light to the world was called Iusis. That was a name given to that thing, that orb of morning, was called Iusis. And Iusis, when the Greeks came in, the Greeks called it Iesis. Iesis. And when you change the Greek Iesis into Latin, I's become J's and becomes Jesus. So Jesus is God's Son, the risen one, our risen Savior. Of course the Son is your Savior. Watch what happens if it don't come up tomorrow morning. See how long life on the earth exists without God's Son. Here is the ground plan for the temple, that great and holy temple in Jerusalem that all the cockamamie, manipulating Freemasons, Masonic, British Israelite, Zionist cult bullcrap, manipulating pimps of the world are waiting for us to bow on our knees and wait for that wonderful, wonderful day when God will reestablish Solomon's temple. The Big Peter. Think I'm kidding? This is from a reference work. The ground plan, left of the temple. You have Jacob and Boaz, the holy and the most holy. Here's the holy, and there was a curtain, and then inside was the most holy. And inside was the most holy, you would have a Shekinah light. Not Hekinah, Shekinah. Because Shekinah light represented female sexuality at the point of conception. It was called in Hebrew the Shekinah. And the curtain was, of course, the veil, which is represented in even Islamic today in the Arabic world. The females wear the veil because it represents the female veil in the vagina for the virgin that must be pierced at the first time of sex, the veil. So therefore, the veil was dividing the holy from the most holy.